I was working on Amitrail 3 because I've got, you know, tons and tons of information which had never been published in other sites and other places that we've gone. Lord said, nope, go out with the Days of Chaos. I went back to that book, resurrected it. I thought, wow, this will take a month. Wrong. Had a lot of work to do on it. And you have to ask yourself, is it really getting better or is it getting worse? And that's the whole point. You go back from 2008 when the blog started to today. And that information is very pithy. It's cutting edge. It's right in your face. And the viewer goes, oh my gosh, look at this. And it's basically Matthew 24. And in fact, you know, in the Watcher series, for instance, we interviewed Dr. Brooks Agnew, Rabbi Glazerson, Professor Robert Haralick, a very secret guest talking about Iran, Dan Gordon, Keith Roberts about the bee die-off, Andy Jones, the Colorado River, the California drought, Bill Salas, Psalm 83, Chief Joseph Riverwind, our first Native American coming on the record, talking about end times, and on it goes. Shlomi Pilo comes in about the Third Temple in Jerusalem, Gil Broussard about Planet X. I mean, that's fantastic, but contrast that with the chapter headings are. Wars and Rumors of Wars. This is from a Days of Chaos book. Earthquakes in Diverse Places, Troublesome Times, the Fukushima Disaster, the Coming One World Government, the False Messiahs and other, you know, false prophets, the Coming Financial Collapse, Lawlessness, the UFO Activity, the Blood Curse on Milan. Of course, I'm talking about the abortion Holocaust, the Volcanic Activity, Famines, the UFO Phenomena, the Coming Great Deception, to name just a few chapters that we, you know, discuss in the book. So you put the two together. Oh my gosh. It's cutting edge information. And that's what people need to understand. If these are the last days, then we should be able to look at the signs all around us, compare them to the biblical prophetic narrative and go, okay, are we here? And in my opinion, Josh, we are, and firing on all eight cylinders. An EMP, we sat down with Brooks Agnew, who knows all about EMPs, but I also track it within the pages of the book. An EMP stands for, it's an anagram for electromagnetic pulse weapon. And this would devastate any country if it was exploded over their country. What you do is you send up a missile 200 miles, and then you detonate the nuclear warhead. That sends out an electromagnetic pulse, which short circuits all of the existing grid over an area. In other words, if you took a bomb the size of Hiroshima, which the Iranians, I believe, have, converted an oil tanker into a missile launcher. And the Iranians, we know, have missiles which will go 200 miles into the atmosphere. You park that baby in the Gulf of Mexico, open up the deck, launch the missile goes up, it's detonated, there's an electromagnetic pulse weapon over the heartland. Let's say you detonate it over Oklahoma City. That pulse would go out and basically destroy the grid, the electrical grid, over most of the country. The phones don't work, cars don't start, microwaves don't run, refrigerators aren't being turned on, no lights, no air conditioner, no heat. The list is endless. Anything with an on and off switch does not work anymore. And guess what? It doesn't come back on 24 hours later. And it's a real threat. Some politicians like Newt Gingrich and others have talked about it. It is a very dire threat. The weasels in Washington had a bill on their desk, I think for $400 million, to beef up the infrastructure in case of an electromagnetic pulse weapon. Instead of taking 2 years to come back on, they could do it in 2 weeks. They voted against it. Exactly. But they'll send that $400 million every month over to Iran, and they'll just continue to bleed more and more of our hard-earned money out for ridiculous projects like, you know, beefing up the Iranians so they can nuke us. Isn't that lovely? Because we are the great Satan. Don't believe me? America has become the laughing stock of the world. Donald Trump is right. Ben Carson is right. Carly Fiorina. They are outside the Washington Beltway. We are taxed to death. So here we are, open borders, all the nonsense. It would not surprise me one bit, because America is not in prophecy. We can tap dance around that all we want to. We're not in prophecy. And this is, God, I hope I'm wrong, but it would not surprise me if an electromagnetic pulse weapon took this country out. We could beef up the grid. We could have it to where the grid could be, you know, come back online in 2 weeks instead of 2 years. We could fix it. You know, there was legislation to fix it. Oh, we're going to vote that down but send the money to the Iranians because they need it. Here we are. In the meantime, 6 months worth of food and water, maybe more. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with stockpiling food. You know, what happens if an earthquake happens in your neighborhood? What happens if Katrina happens to you? What happens if the dam breaks and you're flooded out? What happens if a 9.0 earthquake hits Los Angeles, where I am? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It would kill millions because Los Angeles, a 60 mile high tidal wave, like one that we saw at Fukushima, the Fukushima prefecture in Japan. And there's a whole chapter on this, Fukushima, in the book, Days of Chaos, would wipe out millions of people in Los Angeles. Hundreds of thousands of people would die. Infrastructure would go down. A 9.0 would be absolutely devastating. No one's prepared for it. I'm prepared for it. I've got 4 to 6 months worth of food and water. But, you know, my neighbors don't. And so how long is that really going to last? If the ship goes down, there'll be utter chaos. Hence the name of both the DVD and the book, Days of Chaos. If we're not in the days of chaos, Josh, I can't read the signs. We are in absolutely unprecedented, and I mean that, unprecedented times. I've never seen it like this, ever. Never seen it like this before. And the problem is, it's not going away. It's not getting better. I talked to some of these. I got an email from this guy at a law firm. L.A., you know, we can make it better. We can win. We can win the kingdom for Jesus. And I'm going, no, you can't. Read your Bible. And I don't want to sound like a doom and gloomer. Read your Bible. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times. Men faint from fear for what's coming upon the earth. Now, if you got a problem with what I'm saying, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the author. I'm just the Domino Pizza delivery guy, as a former pastor used to say. That's all I am. I'm just telling you what's written in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Take it up with the author of that, which is Yeshua himself. He gives us a checklist of items to look for that will herald his return. These are the birth pangs that will lead to the birth of the tribulation period. Take it up with him. And because Israel is back in the homeland, because anti-Semitism is rising to a fevered pitch in a way that I've never seen it before. And that's where we are. So an EMP, God, I hope it doesn't happen. It's foolish in this day and age not to be prepared. We live with a false sense of security, thinking that the infrastructure will remain intact. The infrastructure is fragile. It doesn't take much to completely bring down the infrastructure. The trucks stop rolling. The trucks stop rolling. The food in the supermarket gets picked in an emergency, gets picked clean within 24 hours. I was in Philadelphia when Sandy hit. And I got to tell you, I went to the market. Everything was shut down. All the shelves were bare. Why? Because they have to get rid of all the food that was refrigerated. If the refrigerator goes off, FDA rules, whatever it is, everything gets thrown out. They threw everything away. All the poultry, all the fish, there was nothing to eat except was on the shelves, and the shelves were picked clean. I was there when Hurricane Sandy hit. I was at my parents' home. They were completely unprepared for any of this stuff. You know, my dad was, you know, in his 90s, and so was my mom. And my mom was like in her late 80s. They weren't prepared. Well, and I stayed there for a week, and the infrastructure came back up, and I stockpiled soups and canned goods and everything else. Look, hopefully nothing will happen where you live. But, you know, do you really want to live that way? Do you want to put your trust in a federal government who, when Sandy did hit, they show up with cookies and hot cocoa? That's all you got? We're supposed to be self-reliant, Josh. Mm-hmm. That's how this country was founded, on self-reliance. How about you go out and earn a cell phone, you know? Oh, you can't earn? Why don't you go back to school and learn something? Why don't you learn a trade to do something with your hands? My gosh, better yourself. You know, everybody out there. Nobody gave me anything. I didn't inherit $1 million. I came to Malibu, California with $26 in my pocket and a few hand tools. That's how I left the guru. Okay, you're going to leave the guru? Great. Well, what are you going to take? What are you going to give me? Nothing. You know, good luck. See you later. And out I went. I had no car, no transportation, $26, $28. Enough for 1 week rent at a place, and I had some hand tools. And the landlady, which I was renting a room, she said, well, I've got this unfinished guest house in the back. Do you want to finish it? And I said, yeah. She said, well, what will you work for? I think I said like, I don't know, $15 an hour, something crazy like that. It might have been lower. It might have been $12.50 an hour. And that's what I did. I went to work, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I'd always loved wood, and I'd always been sort of a hobbyist carpenter. Here I was, and I finished her guest house for her. And from that money that I earned, I bought my first truck for $600, and I was in business, you know, as a handyman, as a carpenter. I was 25 years old, actually 25 years old. And that's how I made my living, you know, and it's like, look what the Lord has done. So self-reliance is an important thing. It's something that it's a principle that this country was founded on. If we want to know something now, there's no excuse not to know it. We have iPhones, right? We have the internet. And, you know, my wife and I are out and somebody will say something and it's like, well, I don't know what that means. And I go, Google it. Get right on there, Google it. Bam. Want to know what the tide's going to be? Google it. There's no excuse except for laziness for not to know anything that we want to know. It's never before has knowledge been so easily accessed as in our present day. So there's no excuse for not knowing the biblical prophetic narrative. There's no excuse for not knowing anything that we want to know. There's no excuse to be on welfare. Now, I understand some people are disabled. I understand that. And there should be a safety net. And that's what the government comes in. But my gosh, 90 million people, you know, are out of the workforce. 60 million people on food stamps. That's shameful.